Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Shirley Falls, Maine is one of those New England towns with a strong memory of the way things used to be before the mills closed, before the mall went up across the river, before so many residents moved away. It's the fictional town left behind by a pair of brothers in The Burgess Boys, a new novel by Elizabeth Strout, who won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction for Olive Kittredge. The story centers on Jem and Bob Burgess, brothers whose lives are imprinted by a childhood tragedy in very different ways. Both pull up their stakes and secret miseries and move to New York City. And both are pulled back to their hometown by another family crisis. Elizabeth Strout joins us now from WPLN in Nashville with more. Elizabeth, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, you set up the story for us in the prologue as a conversation between a woman and her mother, talking about what it was like observing these neighbors, the Burgesses. Tell us a little bit about this family.
Well, I thought with a prologue, the mother remains in Maine, and the narrator, just for the prologue part, has moved to New York. And there was something that mirrored the situation of the Burgess brothers for that that I liked about that. So the mother and the grown daughter are just constantly sort of chatting and reminiscing about what the town was like back when, you know, the narrator still lived there. And that sort of appealed to me, because I think we do that at times, you know, sit and just reminisce about what happened to the different people in our town.
Mm. Could you read a bit from that prologue?
Yes, I'll read the very last part. And so it began, like a cat's cradle connecting my mother to me and me to Shirley Falls. Bits of gossip and news and memories about the lives of the Burgess kids supported us. We reported and repeated. I told my mother again about the time I had come across Helen Burgess, Jim's wife, when they lived as I once did in the neighborhood of Park Slope in Brooklyn. My husband and I one night found ourselves dining near Helen and a friend in a Park Slope cafe, and we stopped near Helen's table as we were leaving. I'd had some wine, I suppose that's why I stopped, and I said to her that I'd come from the same town Jim had grown up in. Something happened to Helen's face that stayed with me. A look of quick fear seemed to pass over it. She asked my name, and I told her, and she said Jim had never mentioned me. No, I was younger, I said. And then she arranged her cloth napkin with a little shake and said, I haven't been up there in years. Nice to meet you both. Bye-bye. My mother thought that Helen could have been friendlier that night. She came from money, remember, my mother said. She thinks she was better than someone from Maine. This sort of remark was when I had learned to let go. I no longer bothered myself with the defensiveness of my mother and her Maine. But after Susan Burgess's son did what he did, after the story about him had been in the newspapers, even in the New York Times and on television too, I said on the phone to my mother, I think I'm going to write the story of the Burgess kids. It's a good one, she agreed. People will say it's not nice to write about people I know. My mother was tired that night. She yawned. Well, you don't know them, she said. Nobody ever knows anyone.
So much said there. Elizabeth Strout reading from her new novel, The Burgess Boys. The Burgess Boys, of course, no longer boys, but kind of frozen in their roles as boys.
That's right.
And the fear that she sees on Helen Burgess's face, what do you think she's sensing there?
Well, Helen, you know, is aware that something bad seems to have affected her husband, Jim. And in typical Maine fashion, this earlier tragedy is simply never discussed by the family. In a different part of the country, that would be a different story. They would discuss it a lot. But in Maine, something happens early on or at any time, and it's not discussed. So Helen, the wife of Jim, doesn't fully understand the effect of all of this. Excuse me. She only knows that she's living with a husband. She loves him very much, and she of course doesn't fully understand him, as we don't ever really fully understand anybody.
Her husband Jim and his brother Bob and their sister Susan, all in a car which came out of gear on top of a hill and actually killed their father. All through
when they were small,
when they were very small. But, you know, so Bob, who was supposedly driving at this time or remembers driving at this time, He is the one who's labeled as the boy who killed his father as they're growing up in Maine. Both Jim and Bob flee Maine to live in Park Slope, but are drawn back by this crime, this horrendous thing that you mentioned. Tell us what happened there.
Well, Susan, the sister that stayed in Maine because she wanted to, and that was her destiny, her son, out of the blue, threw a frozen pig's head through a mosque that... a mosque of some Somali refugees who had moved to town. And it's just a horrendous act. And the brothers are called upon to go back up to Maine and deal with this.
The crime was based on one that actually did happen in Lewiston, Maine, back in 2006.
That's right.
Some factual differences, however, it was done in the summer. You said it in the fall when Maine is full of Mainers, which I thought was significant. You know, the people from away have already gone home.
Right.
You imagine this through the eyes of the police chief, through Somalis who live there, playing out in the DA's office. I'm wondering how you got all these different perspectives on this, Elizabeth.
Well, it was a fascinating, the whole concept of it was very compelling to me, and I only do what I'm deeply interested in because the reader is not going to be interested if I'm not. And so I talked to an awful lot of people, and when that case actually did occur in real life, I followed it meticulously, and then I thought, well, novelistically, I can make some changes in terms of character, not in terms of what really happened as a society, how we deal to choose with an act like this. And I talked to a lot of people and went up and spent time there and had myself a good old time making all this up around the reality of it.
We're speaking with the novelist Elizabeth Strout. She won the 2009 Pulitzer Prize for fiction for her book Olive Kittredge. We're talking about her newest book called The Burgess Boys. Well, what happens after this horrendous act? Many in the town rise to the defense of the quote-unquote Somalians, who some call.
Right.
But it also surfaces the kind of growing pains of a dying town. One character actually says that the town is on life support. So what does this Somali population bring to little Shirley Falls, Maine?
Well, hopefully they bring a lot. This is a town, as many towns are in Maine and elsewhere throughout the country. This is a town that lost about 30 years ago their textile mills, and the Somali population is very entrepreneurial, and they hopefully are bringing in a great, a potentially new kind of activity in life and some businesses and all sorts of things. But, of course, Maine is the whitest state of the 50. It is the oldest state of the 50. So there is, as people say, a situation up there.
Hmm. And their sister, Susan, she's left behind, but not only by her brothers who moved on, but by her husband.
Yeah.
Tell us
a
little bit more about her as a character, the one who stayed behind.
Right. Well, Susan's had some blows. Her husband did leave, and she's raised this child who was never exactly right. He sort of, poor Zach seemed to suffer from that kind of failure to thrive kind of syndrome. He's always been a little bit of an odd duck, and Susan loves him deeply, but of course is vastly confused as to why he should do this and feels very protective of him and yet obviously horrified at what has happened. And she feels separated from her brothers because they went and left, and they have a very different lifestyle in Maine. But by the end of the book, all three of these grown children, these grown siblings, have kind of shifted position and have made, I think, significant motions forward in their lives, even if it appears, that they go through some bumps on the way.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be a parallel between her need for help and company and the refugees who've arrived in town, sort of lost and adrift, although she has a community there. But she feels this resentment that, they get attention, that they get help, and she has none.
So, that's right.
What's going on here? It's not just the economics of a community, but a social fabric of a community is sort of an evolution. What's going on there?
Well, there are many different reactions to this population moving into town, and as she says, liberals love a good cause, and so there are certain people that jump forward to help, and then there's that marvelous backing of the Somalis, you know, support of the Somalis after this act happens. But Susan has never really understood them, has never had any interaction with them, which is very typical, frankly. There are a lot of people in these communities that remain completely oblivious to the problems that the Somali refugees are having. So a lot of things are going on, and there are many parallels. As you said, there's one, you know, with Susan and her situation and the Somalis and their situation, but there are a lot of parallels. The concept, even the boys, the men, mm-hmm. Jim and Bob, who have moved to New York, I mean, what is home? How do you go about reinventing yourself, and how do you go about moving to a new environment and making it feel like it could be home?
You left Maine behind too, didn't you?
I did.
So does
well,
that
sort of, sort of.
But is that a betrayal? You know, the way you describe it in the beginning, in the prologue, with the woman talking with her mother. You know, she's somehow disloyal for leaving Maine.
Yeah.
Do you feel that?
Well,
tug?
I think at the time that. You know, I'm 57 years old, and I left when I was about 23. So at that time, I think there was a sense of betrayal might be too hard a word, but I think there was a sense of, you know, what's wrong with staying where all your ancestors, you know, 10 generations of your ancestors have been here? What's wrong with this beautiful state, and why do you have to leave? I think now people understand that a lot of young people have to leave Maine because economically they simply can't stay there. But at the time that I left, there was, I think, a sense of betrayal, certainly.
Elizabeth Strout, we have just a minute left, but I'm just wondering, you know, how after winning a Pulitzer Prize, you inevitably are going to be compared to your previous book. How do you begin again? How do you shut that off in your head and just write and produce a new work?
Yeah, I think about the characters. That's what, as long as I'm fully in the work, I'm fine. It was when I picked my head up and I thought, oh my goodness, I have all these new readers and I want to be responsible to them. I don't want to let them down because they had joined me with Olive. But it's something that only went through my mind a little bit because I was really just, you know, I'm working. I'm inside the work.
And we're glad for that. Thank you so much. Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Elizabeth Strout. Thank you. Her newest book is called The Burgess Boys, and you can find more on the novel and on her award-winning book, Olive Kittredge. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also find links and follow us and post your reactions on Facebook and on Twitter. Now stay with us for more on the life of the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher, who towered over British politics for more than a decade, died earlier today. We're going to hear a BBC obituary on the Iron Lady when Word of Mouth continues.